and 16. We made a whole lot of choices in 2015, some good choices, some choices not so good, and some of us may have made some bad choices. But you know what? No matter what choice that you made, the choice was yours to make. Because God have made us a people with a free will. See, God has this thing about him. If you're going to serve me, do it because you choose to serve me. You see, God take away from Satan this thing about, yeah, they are worshiping you, they are praising you, they are serving you because you are making them. Or you remember that story with Job, right? Because you've done so much for them. How many know that it doesn't matter how much you may do for your children? When your children come of age, they may decide they're not going to do things like you want them to do. How many know that? And ain't a thing you and I can do about it, because sometimes we try even when they're grown, huh? Because there's a mother's love and a father's love, and also we do it because sometimes we have already been down that street, been on that journey, hit that pothole, our lives were knocked out of alignment, and so we see the same potholes and same situations, and we don't want our children, who's our heartstring, to go that way. A lot of times they don't understand that. They may feel that you're trying to control them or whatever. No, no, no. We love you. And it's not that we didn't make mistakes, but we don't want you to make the mistakes that we made. Because some of the consequences are devastating. You know, and yet with all of that love we have for one another, we have to stand back, stand down to a certain extent, and say, you know what, ain't a thing I can do about that free will that God have given every human being. You know? And when you think of it from God's point of view, man, it makes it awesome, because you and I love the Lord, don't we? Somebody here love the Lord. But you know the beauty of that? You love the Lord because you choose to love the Lord. Huh? And it doesn't matter how much God give you, how much God do for you. Sometimes we still can treat him dirty. We can be unfaithful, though he's faithful. So we can't buy into that. You know, if you give you this and give you this, you gonna do this. You heard about that young man that got drunk and killed up all those people, and then he ran to Mexico, him and his mother, on TV, and his attorney used the case. What is he was? Okay, yeah, he had money and things and privileges, and his parents didn't discipline him, so in a sense they spoiled him, and therefore he didn't know right from wrong. You follow what I'm saying? Now, there's a lot of rich folk didn't run over people. And some folk, they didn't get drunk neither. But that was just used as an excuse. But anyway, I want us to look at choices, because when we go into this year, and this is the start here, we're going to have to choose to do the right thing if we're going to bring glory to God, all right? And here's another thing. If we don't choose to do the right thing and we mess up, let us choose to ask God to forgive us. You still have a choice. You follow what I'm saying? You see, you don't want your bones to be broken because you got unconfessed sin. You don't want to have sleepless nights because you won't choose to say, God, forgive me. You won't end up in some type of situation. You say, God, I don't understand what's going on. And God says, you know, what's going on, it just may be the consequences of your choice. You follow what I'm saying? But this is life, because life is going to go on and life is going to do its thing. Lamentations 3:22 to 23 says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, God. Look at this. Now it says, his compassion is, his mercies are not, by the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Now, going back to 2015, my question to you, the audience, how many mornings were involved in 2016? It was 365 days to a year, am I right? So that means there were 365 mornings in that year, right? So when I look at it from that perspective, and I see every morning has some new mercies, huh? So that tells me that I can go back every day of last year and say, God, thank you. Because every day I got up, there was some new mercies for me. You know what we say about mercy? Mercy is when I need a whipping, but you decide not to give me a whipping. Huh? You had mercy on me. And here's the thing. If you're going through something, I got to know what I got, what I have, so I know what I'm losing. But if I don't know what I really have, I don't know what I'm losing. Watch this. When I know what I have from the Lord, then I can put value on that comes from the Lord. Watch this now. Watch this. If I put value on what comes from the Lord, because I know what comes from the Lord, I'm using this poinsettia, the red one, the blood. That's what God give me. And I know what he give me. I begin to look at his benefits and his mercy and everything, and I begin to gaze upon him. I begin to see law, and I'm captivated with what he's given me. Then when the world offered me something, see, some of us feel that we are empty, we don't have nothing for the Lord, so therefore we are vulnerable with what the world gives you. And sometimes we are rich, but we act like we are poor. Sometimes we are blessed, but we act like we don't have a blessing nowhere. That's because we haven't took time to consider the mercies of the Lord. But you catch a person, he considers the mercies and the goodness of the Lord, and he take those things and he keep them dear to his heart. So you got to make a choice to do this. You know, my son was talking about how me and Brother Joan would talk about the word and spend that time. And, you know, it wasn't about nobody else. It was, here's the thing. We both had made a choice. We would rather spend our time with looking at the word of God, talking about the word of God, searching the word of God. And we didn't always agree. It wasn't about us agreeing. A lot of times we would disagree. But we would still come back together, because what we all knew, if we disagree on something, we would go back and search. Because we're coming back together. when we come back together, say, okay, now I missed this. You had did a deeper search on that than I did. I see now, but when I went back and I did my study on it, I saw where you were coming from, and vice versa as we would go about. Because here's the things. I need to know the values of the gifts that God has given to me. When you devalue who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ, you open yourself up for crisis. You see, a lot of people are open for the world and the devil because you have not come to a point that you are sold out on the blessings of the Lord. You see, those benefits that God gives us, the psalm says, forget not his benefits. Keep it in your mind. Keep it on the front burner of your mind. And you have to keep it there because you're going to be offered different things from the world, the flesh, and the devil. But if I'm already full, you can't tempt me with food because I'm already full. But if I'm not full and I'm hungry, you can tempt me with food because I want that food so I can get full. But when you begin to count your blessing from the Lord and what you got in God value the other things, it makes a difference. And it'll make a difference in your life. But it's not going to happen by itself. You and I have to choose to value the mercy of the Lord. Why would God tell me? He said, look, man, I was just not merciful to you, Ricks, one day. And you said, let me look back 40 years when God was merciful to me. He said, my mercy was every day. And guess what? I didn't stretch out the mercy I started the year off with. I gave you new mercies every day. God said, watch this. The same one that gives us a new day, he gives us the new mercies with the new day. Let me tell you one of the reasons why God gives us new mercies. Because God wants you to make it through the day. See, God is not trying to destroy us. God is trying to help us. God is trying to help us to maneuver through this world that hates you and I. Because it hated him first. Are you with me? But now once if I major on what the world can offer me, if I major on the temporal things, and I minor in the eternal things, even here on earth, I'm going to be in trouble. Because my heart's desire is not for the eternal, but for the carnal. In Genesis, the first point I want to make, and I'm going to try not to be up too long. When good people make bad choices, and I want to look at that from Genesis, Adam and Eve. Y'all know them folk, don't you? But I'm going to look at Genesis 2, 15 and 16. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God put before Adam and Eve a choice. He says, because I've made you with a free will, and even though I made you in my image, with intellect, will, emotions, and all of that I made you with, I don't want you if you don't want me. Even though I am the creator and you are my creation. Not only are you, watch this now, my creation, you are my chief creation. Because I didn't make nothing else in my image, but I did make you in my image. You know what God is saying? When you know that God has made you in his image, you should value that. That's why we shouldn't be killing one another and treating one another all kind of ways. Even for Christ's sake, if I could understand what God means that I made you in my image. But if we don't value that, that don't mean a thing. And here, God put those choices before these people. You can choose to obey, or you could choose to die. We know over in chapter 3, Satan began to tempt them and influence them. And they gave in to Satan's trickery and temptation. And they ate all the fruit that God told them not to. Am I right about it? But what I want you to know, they made a choice. See, you and I can make the choice, but we don't make the consequences. But in this case, God says, here's the consequences, death. Here's the blessing, you stay in this paradise. The Garden of Eden was a paradise, was a beautiful place. Adam now could walk with God, and the garden could fellowship with God, had that close, intimate relationship with God. All of that was going to be broken because of their choice. You know, a lot of times parents and children make choices that break fellowship with one another. Huh? Am I right about it? And watch this. The reason I said that, I wanted to go to somebody that's close to you because Adam was close. See, God hadn't made another man before this. Am I right? See, even God had never created. This is the first one I'm going to create like this. And he did it from his own purpose, from his own will. He made him just the way he wanted to make him. See, you got to realize Adam and Eve weren't born. They were created. Huh? So, and they were created good. Because everything God created, he said, it was good. Look at the running commentary. You'll see it. It was good. So, therefore, they were, you know, they had to be good. They were made in God's image. What I'm saying, you could be born in privilege. You can be born again from above, being saved. That's a privilege. And still make the wrong choices. Hey, don't think because I'm saved now all my choices I make are right choices, righteous choices, good choices. No, sometimes we make bad choices. Children, adults, make the choice to listen to me. I don't mean you no harm. I mean you good. I'm serious about what I do. I never been the kind of person who was not serious. Check me out. And I got real serious when I got saved. Matter of fact, at my home church, my pastor called me, Rich, you serious? You serious? Well, I thought everybody's supposed to be serious about the Lord. I joke, I have. But see, right now, when you choose, the reason why I had to stop, because of my subject matter. I'm talking about you making a choice. When I see you make choice to ignore God, and I know the consequence of that, see, faith comes by hearing. And Satan will put stuff in your mind and people's mind. See, influence. influence. But don't let nobody influence you to make the wrong choice. You tell those when you know a right choice is on the table and you want all the information about the right choice and my privileges in Christ, you tell them, stand down for a minute. I'll get back with you. Because I'm going to tell you something. When mama ain't around, daddy ain't around, and you in a conflict, you're going to need the Lord. But then when you had a chance to hear the blessings of the Lord, you didn't want to hear it. But anyway, they were good people, but they made a bad choice. And the consequences of their choice affect all of us. It was a universal devastation because they were the federal head. You know, in their DNA, they were to populate the whole world. But they made that choice. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me if I'm a good person through and through, because God made me that way, and you place me in a paradise with everything I need, and I got a personal relationship with God walking with me in the garden. You mean if you give me a choice before me, I will pick the choice to walk away from all of that? What happened that when you have the best and you're willing to make the choice for the less? What's going on inside of us? Well, Satan realized that free will, a lot of time, want to test itself in you. It want to say, okay, if I truly have a free will, even though I know that this is good, but if I got a free will, let me try some of this. And God says, you know what? Go ahead. Go ahead, make your choice. But I went with the mercies because sometimes we make choice. It's amazing. Some people make choice and they're just taken out. Other people make a choice and like God give them another chance. Are you with me? But that's all up to God. But I want to move on. We know the story of Adam and Eve, but I want to go to Joshua. Chapter 2, story of Rahab. Because now Rahab, my next point, when bad people make good choices. Yes, sir, you can be what we consider a bad person and you can make a good choice. Matter of fact, we are all bad people, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But one day we made the choice of receiving Jesus Christ. Now, we know about the doctrine of election and all of that, but it doesn't take away our responsibility in the program because that's the way in God's sovereign will he has set it up. Faith comes by hearing. So you hear the word of God as it's being hurled out. Then you make a decision. God says, whosoever will. Didn't he say that? Whosoever will. You know, so all of those things, even we don't understand how God works in every aspect because he is God, but we realize that God has a responsibility and we have a responsibility. We cannot shirk our responsibility saying that God going to do it anyway. Yeah, you can say God going to do what he want to do, but God want to do it through you and me. God want to use us. It's just the way that he has that set up. Okay, in chapter 2, it says, now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. Now, what I want you to do as I'm reading this, and keep in mind with our topic, making choices, see what you see in this as I read down, even before I get there. I'm going to read it. But as I'm reading it, you see what you can pick up. The children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." 4. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks and flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard," faith comes by hearing, "we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things," there's a her again, "we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord, your God, he is God in heaven, above, and on earth." Didn't Jesus say all power is given to me in heaven and on earth? What this bad person is knowing about who ruled heaven and who ruled earth? Oh, man, I'm telling you something now. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, your God now, Jehovah, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping and making God, I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you." You see, I want to show you something here from this. You know, my point is, the second point is, when bad people make good decisions. I'm using that because of the opposite of good, because she was a prostitute. They didn't think they were good people. And even today, folk don't think they're good people. Am I right about it? Okay, but even being who she was, she heard the same thing her countrymen had heard. You see, when we are back at the Red Sea, we are engaged at Pharaoh coming behind Israel. And we see and read the story how God parted the sea and how they went across. And Miriam got the ladies and they had a good time singing of the deliverance of the Lord. Am I right about it? Now I'm going somewhere. But when all this took place, it didn't take place in a vacuum. Some other folk heard about, I'm going to tell y'all something now. You walk around here saved and loving the Lord and you know who you used to be and you know who you are now. Am I right about it? But I got news for you. There are onlookers at your life. You may not know that you're that living epistle being read. These people have heard the testimony of the God of Israel. All of them heard it. She said, see, we wouldn't have known this had Rahab not declared it. She said, and when we heard what you had done to the kings, how they couldn't stop the onslaught of your God's power, we were shaking in our boots. But you know what she said? Yes, I'm a prostitute. Yes, I'm a street person. Yes, men in and out of my house. But you know what? Something is going on now. Something that got everybody in town shaking in their boots. And that something is capital L. Oh, my. Are y'all with me? The fear of God, hearing about God's power, made her come to a point in her life, I got to make a decision now. You follow what I'm saying? Hey, I thank God that my family that's coming, my nephews and different ones, all didn't come at the same time. They didn't come join New Berean at the same time. They didn't get saved at the same time, my sister and all of that. But I want to think like Rahab. Hey, Rich, they heard about your God, what he had done for y'all. And not only that, we are watching. It's something about your God and you. See, because if you read this, she said what your God did for you. Did y'all catch that when you're reading it? It didn't just say, Sheila, what God did, but he did it for Israel. Folk are seeing what God is doing for you and for you. Folk look at your family. They look and say, man, I begin to watch you. I saw you when you were down. I saw you when you were broken. I saw you in the valley. As a matter of fact, I begin to put a tombstone on you because I didn't figure you would rise again. But then I went away and I came back and I looked at you. You look new. You didn't look the same. And it's like, no, let me. I begin to call you by your nickname. Is that you? So-and-so? No, that ain't so-and-so because I remember. When last time I saw so-and-so, they were going down for the last count. And I didn't see no way of them getting up. But when I turn around, they look new. They look bright. There's a brilliance that's coming from them. And they don't walk the same. They don't look the same. And they're married. And got a good, oh my God, what's happening? What it was, it is the effects of so-and-so's God upon their life, that God is fighting the battles in your life and God will make you new. But there are choices that you can make. She decided, if there's a God that can make my king, all of my villagemen shaking their boot, I want to be a part of that God. So when you come and ask me about the men, I got to tell a lie right here. I got to let you know they ain't here. I'm going to hide them. Watch this. She knew where deliverance was. Deliverance wasn't in her king. Her king couldn't help her because Joshua coming to destroy the place, kill everybody, burn up everything. Are you with me? The lake of fire is waiting on some folk. But I want you to know, people may never tell you to your face, but they are watching your blessing. They are watching you. See, here's the thing. We are serving the Lord and receiving his blessings. And his blessing is all over you. You may not have a lot of money, but his blessing is over you. You can walk in a room, and it's a little different when you just walk in. And you ain't even saying anything. And you ain't even walking in with your Bible. But it's something about your God that you carry with you. See, the Bible says if Christ is not in you, if the Spirit of God is not in you, you don't belong to him. So if you belong to God, wherever you go, you take the Holy Ghost. See, I don't have to say Holy Ghost come into this place. If I'm in there, the Holy Ghost is in there. The Holy Ghost is in the place. Now, I can say, have your way. Because he may be in there and I got him by a chokehold. That's called quenching the spirit, somebody. Or he could tell me to do something, I grieve him. But he's in there. But what position is he in? Is he in a grieving position or a quenching position? Now, that's the part. Let's get that thing right, y'all. But he's in there if I'm in there and you in there. See, it's a choice we got to make. Even be ye filled with the Spirit of God. I got, God said, I'm going to give you the choice. You're saved. The Holy Spirit is in you. But you got to choose to give the right away, to yield the right away of your life so the Holy Spirit can glorify Jesus. But it's a choice. And all 365 days, we got to make choice. I want to say this. You started off right. You made the right choice this morning. You received that new mercy. We all did. We got up clothed in that new mercy. We got up clothed in his faithfulness. We got up clothed in his compassion. And we came out to the house of God. And we didn't come out to celebrate the preacher. We didn't come out to celebrate one another. We came out, that same God, the same Lord that Rahab the harlot is saying that, oh, it's something about him. He is a God in heaven. He's a God on earth. Hi, I don't know no God like this one. I don't know him, but I want to get to know him. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to side with Israel God. So spies, come on, let's go to the roof. Get under this flat, high. Don't worry about what they say. See, let me tell you something. You and I can make a choice that could destroy our whole family. Choice we make. But on the other hand, you and I can make a choice and save our whole family. That's what she did. She said, now look here. Ain't all about me. See, I know you're coming to destroy this place. I know God is giving you all this, but save me and my family. Put the red string out the window, the red rope. When we see it, I'm going back and tell the leader, Joshua, what you've done for us. We're going to spare. And then you read over, you see Joshua spared all of them. He took them outside of Israel's camp. He took them outside and he spared their lives. So this year, your choices are important. Because I want to tell you something. You and I got a shelf life down here. And we don't know how many years each one of us have. So you got a little time to make these decisions. Don't waste time by making bad decisions. Whenever you make decisions that you are led by the Spirit of God, you know you are making the right decisions. You know, sometimes my feelings can get hurt, and I make a decision based on my feelings. Let me tell you something. And that's all it was. And here's the thing. Here's the crazy thing about that. You say, what is, Pastor? Here's the crazy thing. My feelings can get hurt. I make a decision to do something to try to make me feel good. And then when I make that decision and I get over here, what have I done? Because I position myself in a place that there is no blessings. Because I didn't feel good, or I got hurt, and I made a decision to destroy me and my family lives. See, I got to make a decision to pray about some things. I got to make some decision to wait on some things. Turn it over to God and see what God says. But I'm going to tell you something. You know why we jump a lot of times? Because even though we pray and we give it to God, but God don't work fast enough. You ever been like, look, can we tell the truth? Say, God, because I'm spiritual. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to pray about it. But I'm going doing it. God said, I ain't moved on that. God said, when you come back and get in trouble, I still haven't moved on it. Here's the thing. Sometimes God will put a thorn in our flesh. He will put it there to buffet us. But I'm going to tell you something. It ain't no buffing. It hurt. I'm out of here. God said, no. Man, let me tell you something. Paul, with the revelation that I'm giving you, man, if I don't irritate you some kind of way, or have something hitting you like that, you have the big head. You'll get so big-headed with your knowledge to a point that I can't even stand you. See, a lot of times God will put something in you and me so he can stand us. You know, we can get so arrogant, so full of ourselves. Anybody know people full of themselves? I know you do. That's Maggie's favorite word. They full of themselves. I'm messing with you, Sister Maggie. But we know that's what you call arrogant people. That, you know. But anyway, she realized, I got to make a decision. What a decision. I'm going to hide these people. Verse 9, he said, and said to the men, I know the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted. Watch this now. Because of you. Let me tell you something. Please don't disconnect the you here from the Lord. She didn't disconnect it. She could have just kept saying the Lord, but she said, I know on whose behalf the Lord is doing what he's doing. Let me tell y'all something. We are so blessed. We can walk into a place and things happen. God make it happen on your behalf. That's what she's saying. She said, I know you don't have the strength within you to do it, but your God is doing it for you, Charmaine. Do you see what she see? That is a bad person seeing spiritual things. These are spiritual things. Her reward, when you go to Matthew chapter 1, you see her right there in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. If you go to Matthew, wait a minute. Y'all help me with this one. A harlot. A prostitute. Anybody know my Savior in the house? Son, you sung that song. You say he holy, didn't you? And you can sing. What did she say? He's holy. He's what? He's mighty. He's worthy. All those good things about him. He's all of that and more. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why did God put her in his genealogy? See, we talk about Mary, huh? And when you look at it, you see her and you see Ruth in there. What is God doing, y'all? Y'all help me with this. See, let me tell you something. God saw her in Jericho. See, let me tell you what. Let me, and you'll pick this up when I say it. Let me tell you what God is impressed with. God is impressed with great faith in him. It turns God on when you display great faith. When God says without faith, it's impossible to please me, he meant it, baby. He meant it. That woman showed such great faith as a heathen, as a prostitute, as one, the crud of the barrel. But she showed such faith when the whole inhabitants knew of the power and the terror of God. But only one, the worst of the worst, said, I see it. I see it clearly. Do you see clearly? Do you see who God is using? Do you see who God is? And you don't get a credit to them, but you get a credit to the God they are linked up with. Make your choices this year. Choose that I'm going to grow in the Lord. Choose that I want to move from this state to a higher state. Choose that I want to pick more spiritual things than carnal things in my life. Choose to say there's some things I got to put off. And I got to put on. See, Rahab got her a husband. And Rahab had some children. And God said, come on, girl, get in this genealogy with Jesus Christ. And I wonder what folk going to say about you then. See, I like this. God can take my mess and make a masterpiece out of it. There's a lot of good folk ain't in that genealogy. Because, see, that's a kingly genealogy. King Matthew dealing with the king, y'all. Got to tie him up with David. Are you with me? I'm through. I just want to start the year off, no matter where we go, or whatever we say, or whatever you hear. Realize you have a free will. Make the right choice. Pray about it. Not only pray about it, get some counsel. If you need some counsel, get some counsel. Because the consequences may be devastating. Not only to you, it may divide your whole family. All right? Amen. Everybody here know the Lord? If you know the Lord, let me see your hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That's good. That's good. If you're here, you don't have a church home, and God has spoken to you about New Berean, come on, be a part of us this year, and we can grow together. We'll be the first to tell you here we don't know everything, but we're not going to stop learning. Is that all right? All right. Now, at this time, we're going to prepare ourselves to receive the Lord's Supper. Amen. Christ died for us, didn't he? He rose for us, didn't he? He's seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, isn't he? He's coming back for us. Huh? He's coming back. And his return can be imminent. It can happen at any time. I know we get comfortable, but he can come back at any time. So he said, in the meantime, until I come back for you, do this in remembrance of me. God says, I want to use this as a token. I want to use this as a sign that when anybody asks you, why do you guys take up the cup? Take up of the bread. Why do you do this? We are doing this in remembrance of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The bread represents his body, and the juice represents his blood. And he wants us to do this. You know, some things are easy for us to do, and we need to do all the easiest things. And then when we get some kind of hard things to do that we are not dotting all those I's and crossing those T's, we got all the easy ones done, and now we're working on the harder ones. Because it is our goal, knowing that we haven't arrived, but we should be getting better. Am I right about it? Amen. I love you, and God loves you too. Dr. Lamont, would you lead us in a word of prayer as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper?
Let us stand, please. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for your holy word, Father. Thank you, Lord, for using the man of God this morning, Father God, to let us know, Lord, that good people can make bad choices and bad people can make good choices. But Lord, help us good people to continue to make good choices, because, Lord, every day is a choice. And right now, Lord, this is one of the greatest choices, is to ask you to forgive us of our sins. Lord, we choose today, Lord, to partake in remembrance of you, one of your ordinances, Father God, which is partaking of the wafer and the juice, Lord, representative of your body and your blood, as a public testimony that you have forgiven us, Father God. Lord God, we ask that you forgive us for our foolish ways. Forgive us for our wicked thoughts. Forgive us, Father God, for how we treated our spouses, Father God. Forgive us, Father God, of how we may have treated our children. Forgive us, Lord, for how we may have treated our employer, Father God. And forgive us, Father God, most importantly, how we've been treating you. Father God, we just ask that you cleanse us right now, Lord, that when we take this bread and drink this cup, Father God, that we can do it worthily, Father God. Lord, help us, Lord, to walk strong in 2016. And help us, Lord, to have a short account of sin. So, Lord, we thank you. We give your name the praise. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.